Blog Talk Radio.
Dollar, dollar, lawyer, yes, sir, Allah. It's right here. Let's get it.
We hit the strip, boulevard. With them Bibles, we be going hard. Nothing but the King James. Nothing but the King James. Zechariah chapter 2, verse 6 and 7. Flee Babylon is about to rain. Fire from the heavens, rain. Fire from the heavens, rain. Fire from the heavens. Jeremiah 50, verse 29, they gon' let them fly. But that's the scriptures. Revelation 18, verse 1 through 18. Come out of her, my people. That's the mouth of the Most High. Zechariah 2, verse 6 and 7. Said the Most High. They want me to stop, but I gotta go blow the trumpet. Say the Most High. Ezekiel 33, verse 1 through 9. For the watchman, God don't want a people. Cause the transatlantic slave trade about to have a sequel. Zechariah 14, verse 1 through 3. They about to come against us.
Cloud. So when you're looking at it from us, from the Most High's vision, he's seeing certain places destroyed and nuclear clouds coming up. Boom, 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 boom. Then it says one star will go towards Babylon to make her desolate. So it's going to start over the Middle East and it's going to make its way to America. Boom. Now we got a little time before that happens. But we're close. First, there must be that falling away first. And that's what's about to happen right now with the evacuation in the United States. This world will never be the same. If you haven't gotten anything from this world, don't look to get anything from it. It's over. It's finished. And guess what? There's no feel-good story anyone can give you. Or no temporary relief. The only relief that we have at the end of this is that if we serve the Most High, Christ will give us rest. That's our only relief. We must look to our relief from the other side and just deal with survival day by day. We have to stop dealing with the things and talking about the things that divide us and come together for self-preservation in the spirit of the Most High. That's how we're going to make it through this. The Lord says a nation divided against itself cannot stand. That's another reason why we're not going to be dealing with madness anymore and back and forth anymore. If you don't believe what we believe, that's fine. If you believe you should live, so do we. Can we agree on that?
Shalom, brothers and sisters. Welcome back to the Lion's Den. This is Brother Yehonathan alongside with Brother Dwayne.
Shalom,
brother. Shalom. We'd like to start off by saying, Ahaya Ba'ashem Yeshaya, Barakatham. God bless you all out there in the name of the Most High in Christ, Warawak, the Holy Spirit. Right. Right. Today is June 28th, 2013. Today's show is going to be about Abraham's bosom. Shalom, brother Dwayne. How you doing?
How you doing? Go ahead and go instead of overcome.
Okay. Seven overcomes.
The reason why we do the seven overcomes because we understand once we come into this truth, there's going to be a lot of different things come up against us, whether it be family members or whether it be Gentiles or whether it be whatever. It's going to be so many different distractions to come up against you. It might come from the people you love. It might come from the people you're studying with. But it's going to be some type of temptation. It's going to be some type of distraction. So that's why we're going through the seven overcomes, because we done been through them distractions, and what we're trying to do, we're trying to let everybody know if we can go through them and try to stand up and overcome, you can too, because these are the seven things Christ promised us he would give us if we overcome.
Okay. Revelation chapter 2, verse 7. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. Revelation chapter 2, verse 11. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. He that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death. Revelation chapter 2, verse 17. He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the hidden manna, and will give him a white stone, and in the stone a new name written, which no man knoweth, saying he that receiveth it. Saving he that receiveth it. Revelation chapter 3, verse 5. He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. Revelation chapter 3, verse 12. Him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out, and I will write upon him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God. And I will write upon him my new name. Revelation chapter 3, verse 21. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. make that shit up.
Okay, that's it. Go ahead to the song, and then I'll come back and do my seven of a call.
Okay. One more.
Prepare for launch in 3, 2, 1.
I gotta look forward. Oh, I think the start thinking I can move fast. Before you say yes, I can. I know I can. Modification means a new mind, a new soul, and a new heart. I guess what I'm really asking for, if you would give me a fresh start, so I can do things better. So the old me one too clever. I was spaced out, now it's all coming together like who I'm supposed to be and what I'm supposed to do. At first I was caught up in this world, but now I'm set free by this truth. Now I go to the pump, fill up on the word for celebration and go. Put my transgression on my bumper, so why can't I be revoked? I know Satan gon' pull me over, but there's only a minor setback. Can't unrule me with the nonsense. Through the spirit, I won't accept that. Got my seatbelt on, car and driving, then I just been moved. Not reflecting on my past, cause I ain't got nothing to lose.
I gotta look forward, so I can't. Just like them heads of time, no head of mine gon' turn back. I remember what's behind me, I pray to what's above me. I'm aware of what's underneath, but I keep my eyes in front of me. All praises to the most, I will never change. Yes, I am a lion, but I can't be tamed. This world is full of blackness, and if you take my life, ain't worried about no darkness, cause my future is bright. This book is my food, I can never say that I ate too much. Evil thoughts used to run my head, but 9 days they don't say too much. Glad this world hate me, cause I know who love me. No crystal ball to be crystal clear, but my future is
I gotta look forward. No, I can't look back.
Chapter 3, verse 13 through 16. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but it's one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of a higher in Christ Yeshua. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, but thus minded. If in anything ye be otherwise minded, a higher shall reveal even this unto you. Nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule, let us mind the same thing. Shalom. Shalom.
Okay. You hear me, Bubba?
Yeah, that was Brother John Boy with New Man, putting in the work.
Putting in the work. Salutation to the brother putting in the work. Okay, my seven overcomes. Revelation 2, verse 7. He that have an ear, let him hear what the Spirit said unto the churches. To him that overcome will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of paradise of God. I'm sorry. Let me do that again. Revelation 2, verse 7. He that hath the ear, let him hear what the Spirit said unto the churches. To him that overcometh, what I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. Revelation 2, verse 7. Revelation 2, verse 11. He that has the ear, let him hear what the Spirit said unto the churches. He that overcomes shall not be hurt by the second death. Revelation 2, verse 17. He that have an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him that overcometh, what I give to eat of that hidden manna, and will give a white stone and a white and in the stone a new name written, which no man knoweth, saving he that receive it. Revelation 2, verse 26. And he that overcometh and keep my words unto the end, to him will I give power to the nations. Revelation 3, verse 5. He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and his angels. Revelation 3, verse 12. Him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out, and I will write upon him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God, and I will write upon him my new name. Revelation 3, verse 21. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame, and I am set down with my Father. Those are my seven overcomes. Hope you brothers and sisters like the show. Take over, brother.
All right. Well, we got to let the people know our mission statement and why we do this. You got that in front of you.
Okay.
Well, basically, we're about linking up with, you know, people in like mind, and you know, we just know that this work is about unity. You know, united we stand, divided we fall. We're just about doing the work for the Most High, higher, in the name of Yeshua, the Son, the Messiah, Christ.
Okay, so, mission statement, Warriors in Christ is about the truth 100%. We're about doing the work to bring in the kingdom. Unity is our mission to see Zion. We have no respect for persons, period. The truth stands. If you can't forgive and focus on build together, unite in Christ. Shalom, Ahaya, Ba'ashem, Yeshaya, while we walk.
Sure. Don't play a tune by John Boy, 30 and 30.
Debt with the Most High, but we ready to pay that. These nations want to see us dead, but we ain't ready to lay yet. Yeah, you can say what you want, but don't touch us, we don't play that. Forgive them for they know not. It took a lot out of me to say that. Who are you to tell Israel they ain't gonna see Zion? Your world is about to end, but we don't believe in no Mayans. We came up on them ships, but we leave it here flying. How stupid you must be to be trying some lions. Once I let my locks down, you know I won't stop now. Christ gonna have a Caesar salad with a side of Rothschild, we lions. So they put us in a real cage, but if you in our den, all they gon' find is your rib cage. We headed to the top, but we skipping the middle, and we keeping the peace until Yeshua give us that signal. This world is our jungle, and you just a little birdie. But if you think we scared, then you probably need to read Proverbs 30 and 30, 30 and 30, 30 and 30. You probably need to read Proverbs 30 and 30, 30 and 30. 30 and 30, 30. You probably need to read Proverbs. You dealing with some lions, boy. You dealing with some lions, boy. You dealing with some lions, boy. Yeah. You dealing with some lions, boy. Y'all wasn't even beating us, even at our worst moment. Only way y'all's beating us if the Most High put a curse on us. Nobody can save us. Every corner got a church on it. When the second coming, it's gonna be a little different from the first, homie. War is on that man's mind. Slaying is his mission. Might not always pay my bills, but I always pay attention. In that book of life, I'm trying to get my name mentioned. You might look like a lion, but you live like a chicken. They done woke them lions up, we wanna go back in our artifacts. When they see us coming, they might just kill over from a heart attack. Israel, oh Israel, now we living like we supposed to. Thanking the Most High, even after all the things that we go through.
30 and 30, 30 and 30, 30 and 30, 30 and 30. You probably need to read Proverbs 30 and 30, 30 and 30, 30 and 30. You probably need to read Proverbs. Dealing with some lions, boy. You dealing with some lions, boy. You dealing with some lions, boy. Yeah. You dealing with some lions, boy.
Back to the Lion's Den. You tuned in with the brother Dwayne and brother Jonathan, or brother Yohanathan.
Shalom, everybody. Shalom, 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 everybody.
Yes, yes, yes. Today we're going to be going into Abraham's Hebrews chapter 4, Abraham's bosom, the Most High's resting place.
Okay, we're going
like
to we're going into Hebrews 4. God's resting place, Abraham's bosom. In a nutshell, we're going to break down that the righteous go in the center of the ground in a resting place. They don't go to heaven. They go in the center of the ground, the resting place. And these are the ones that have died in Christ. But before Christ came, he was still resting place. These same people that died before Christ in the resting place, and when Christ comes, the ones that make it through the purging, the ones that make it through the purging, all going to be walking into Jerusalem together by Christ. The one when Christ hit the atmosphere, the dead in Christ going to rise, and the ones that make it through the purging, that make it through the purging, that don't be destroyed by the Most High, all of them going to walk into Jerusalem together by Christ. And we're going to break it all down for you. So, going in, going to have a good show. Check this out. This song here, going to break it down a little bit for you. Now you got an understanding of this song. Okay?
Right.
The saints go marching in.
Yes. Warriors in Christ, you're now tuned in to the Lion's Den.
Surrounded by these lions like they are Dean. Wicked tripping cause the roof about to cave in. War time, yeah, it's almost time to get it in. Make up your mind cause it's time for the decision. On the fence like a picket, Most I don't favor the wicked. They so blinded by big pride, they do not seek the Most High. Maneuvering they muscle when attempt to keep us quiet. Converted with they speak so they words are like cyanide. Death upon they breath. Man, I like fertilizer mulch, like buried bodies hit off in their throat. So this rust about corruption, deliver to destruction, overcome with the consumption of making war with our Lord. They see soon approaching on the day to be no more, but we ride for the widow, crack, baby, and the poor. Yeah, can't wait until they rainfall, and we seeing cloudy skies as how they forecast. Trying to stay up in these scriptures as we focus. And we got some great news for the righteous, who keep the ways and they walk in the likeness of the Messiah, Yeshua, and the Christ. Got no budget.
blessings not contingent. No use solely passing that bucket. They just all about they duckets. Bottom line, they puppets. Manipulate the word, take the word, then corrupt it. Category descriptions only stick to a few subjects. Taking up your money, send it to the sons of petition. When it's really you who's living in them substandard conditions. Synagogues of Satan, gang control of the nations, by impersonating Jews. Let me make it plain, they impersonating you. Why they wishing they was Jews? They in the likeness of the Jews, they why they Jewish? Don't it feel good being from the seed of Judah? Try not be a lamb, water to a barracuda. Died in that water, flesh is pushing up the tulip. Word to Yahweh, now it's time to lace your boots up. Laying down the sins to mark his presence for when the saints are marching. Gotta know that he with me. Praying for grace from the Father, that we don't get martyred. Government won't decide it, but we cannot hold water. Since we came apart that water, we the sheep of the flock. So callous in that fold, we cannot keep from our clothes. So we cling to the shepherd while surrounded by these lepers. Only Christ to protect us. While we're speaking this message, look at the evil they be working. Off in darkness they be lurking, and they lie away for our blood. Just like they could, but the only thing we feel and reveal is the Most High. Father, be my shield. They tryna get me deep off in my grill. No beef caught in between my teeth, cause wisdom keep us flossing. Gargle with the tooth and spit it out like it is mouthwash. Tsunamis beat against the grill, but it's built up on solid rock. Lies and contradiction, it will be built up on thinking sand. The mark is present for attendance when that thing don't watch it.
Right. That was the brother Dayag with Saints Marching In. You tuned in to Warriors in Christ. Welcome to the Lion's Den.
Welcome to the Lion's Den. Judah, stand up. All 12 tribes,
yes.
Stand up. Gentiles in Christ. Stand up. Okay, we're going to go to Hebrews 4, verse 8. Go to Hebrews 4, verse 8 for me, brother.
All right. No problem, Hop. Hebrews 4 and 8. Hebrews 4 and 8. For if Yeshua had given.
No. 4 and 9. Go to 4 and 9. I'm sorry. 4 and 9.
All right. Hebrews chapter
9,
4.
I'm sorry.
No problem. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 9. There remaineth, therefore, a rest to the people of God.
The Most High had a resting place. There is a resting place for the Most High's people. Read through for me. Read 10 through 11 for me.
I'm going to read 9 again. There remaineth, therefore, a rest to the people of God. Verse 10. For he that is entered into his rest, he also has ceased from his own works, as God did from his. Verse 11. Let us labor there. Go ahead, brother.
Keep going.
Okay. Let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest. Lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief.
The same example of unbelief is talking. The same example of unbelief is talking about is when the brothers and the sisters that was in the wilderness, when we first was brought to them, when Ahio first freed them from Egypt, and it was given to them that they will have an everlasting rest to be able to meet, to make it to the God's resting place and to meet Christ and to be taken into Jerusalem and have a 1,000-year peace. They didn't believe those things, so they failed. So the Most High in his wrath said they would not enter into his rest. So verse 10, Hebrews 4 and verse 10, for he that entered into his rest, the ones that enter into the Most High rest, what had to happen? He also had ceased from his works. This individual did the work. He put in the work, and he was deemed righteous by the Most High. And this individual that is speaking about is an individual that have died and is in the Most High resting place right now. Because it says, 11, let us labor, therefore, to enter into his rest. Let us put in the work that's righteous in the Most High eyes, for we could try to make it to the bosom. So we could try to make it to his resting place. How we know these things? Go to Isaiah 57, verse 1.
Isaiah chapter 57, verse 1. Isaiah 57 and 1. The righteous perisheth, and no man layeth it to heart, and merciful men are taken away. None considering that the righteous is taken away from the evil to come. He shall enter into peace. They shall rest in their beds, each one walking in his uprightness.
Okay. Isaiah 57, verse 1. The righteous perish and no man lieth it to heart. The evil don't care about the righteous man that died. All the righteous man that put in the work, that's trying to get to the glory, the evil don't care, the wicked don't care about the righteous that perish. But verse 2 lets you know that the Most High do care. He shall enter into peace. When his spirit leaves his body, he shall enter into peace. They shall rest in their beds, each one walking his uprightness. So let's go to Revelation 6, verse 9 through 11. And let's see the dead in Christ. Let's see where do they go. Let's see if there's a place for the people that die in Christ. Revelation 6, verse 9.
Revelation chapter 6, verse 9. And when he had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God.
The souls that were what? Hold on one second. The souls that were what?
The souls of them that were slain for the word of God.
Okay, for the word of God, they're holding on to. They're not dealing with any adultery. They're not dealing with no wickedness. They holding on to the testimony of Christ. Let's go.
And for the testimony which they held.
Mm-hmm.
Verse 10. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, how long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? Verse 11. And white robes were given unto every one of them, and it was said unto them that they should rest yet for a little season unto their fellow servants also.
Hold on one second. That they should what?
That they should rest yet for a little season,
okay,
until their fellow servants also and their brethren that should be killed as they were should be fulfilled.
And their brethren, okay, that was killed as they were should be fulfilled. Remember, Isaiah 57, verse 2 said, he shall enter into peace, and they shall rest in their beds, each one walking in his uprightness. So we're seeing that the Most High do have a resting place. Go to Luke 16, verse 22, for we can find out the name of that resting place.
All right. Luke 16, verse 22. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angel into Abraham's bosom.
Where was he carried?
Into Abraham's bosom.
Okay.
The rich man also died. Oh, sorry. Okay.
Keep going. The rich man also died, and what happened to him?
The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell,
okay, now,
he lifted up his eyes.
In hell, he lifted up his eyes. Let's start at Luke 16, verse 19, so we can get a full understanding on what's going on right here.
Luke chapter 16, verse 19. There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day.
Sumptuously mean he lived in luxury.
Verse 20. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torment, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things.
Hold on 1 second. Go to verse 19 and let's see what these good things Abraham talking about that this rich man received.
Luke chapter 16, verse 19. There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fed sumptuously every day.
Lived in luxury every day. Now go back down and let's see what the situation of the poor man or the beggar. Let's finish what Father Abraham was speaking.
Okay, verse 25. Well, Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things.
Let's go to verse 20. Let's see what the scripture called evil things.
And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores.
Okay, now let's go back down. We can get a little understanding that, see the scriptures showing that the luxury and the money and they can throw your mind off and have you not to focus on the Most High. And you can end up in hell instead of Abraham's bosom. The poor man made it to Abraham's bosom. Let's go, brother. Let's keep going.
Lazarus evil things, but now he is, we have 25. We'll go back and read 25 again. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented.
Hold on, he's comforted, right?
Lazarus, yes, but now he is comforted.
Okay,
and
now
thou art
tormented. He's comforted. He went. The angels took him to Abraham's bosom, and now he's comforted. Remember Isaiah 57, verse 2. He shall enter into peace. They shall rest in their beds. Peace, rest, comfort. Okay? Now, remember Revelation. Remember Revelation 6, verse 9, where it also said that roles was given to them. Verse 11. Revelation 6, verse 11. And white roles were given unto them, every one of them. And it was said unto them that they should rest yet a little season unto their fellow servants also. And their fellas who, and their brother, I'm sorry. Let me read that again. Revelation 6, verse 11. And white robes were given unto every one of them, and it was said unto them that they should rest yet for a little season unto their fellow servants also and their brethren that should be killed as their will shall be fulfilled. So we get a little understanding, rest, peace, comfort, all of it going together. Now, let's finish. Let's see. Let's go to Revelation 14, verse 12.
All right. Revelation chapter 14, verse 12. Revelation 14 and 12. Here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Yeshua. And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Ye, says the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors and their works do follow them.
And they labor and their works do follow them. So this is showing this is the Most High resting place. The Most High do have a resting place for those who do die in Christ and the ones who died before Christ, the ones that made it, the ones that was righteous in the Most High eyes before Christ came. These shall rise when Christ hit the atmosphere. Let's go to Exodus, 2nd Exodus 2, verse 31. This is in the Apocrypha. This is in the King James 1611. Or you have a separate book called the Apocrypha, which these 14 books was taken out of the original version that King James had translated from Hebrew. Because in the last days, the Most High knew the earth was going to have basically one language. What everybody basically flocked to this land. Everybody basically flocked to this land to be part of Babylon. And the Most High knew that in the last days, basically the whole world would be subject to English. So that's why it was translated. The Spirit was put on King James to translate it from Hebrew to English. So let's go to 2nd Exodus 2, verse 31.
2nd Exodus 2 and 31, one moment. 2nd Exodus chapter 2, verse 31. Remember thy children that sleep, for I shall bring them out of the sides of the earth and show mercy unto them, for I am merciful, saith the Lord Almighty.
Read that again for me. Read it slow with emphasis. Read it slow with emphasis, because remember the word rest, comfort, peace.
2nd Exodus chapter 2, verse 31. Remember thy children that sleep, for I shall bring them out of the sides of the earth and show mercy unto them. For I am merciful, saith the Lord Almighty.
The Most High said he will bring them out of their sleep, the ones that's inside the earth, and be merciful to them. Go to 1 Thessalonians 4 verse 16, for we can see what this mercy would be, what the Most High is speaking on. 1 Thessalonians 4 verse 16. Now we're getting a better understanding that go all the way back to Isaiah 57 verse 1. The righteous shall perish, and no man lay it to heart. That means the people walking on the earth right now today, seeing the people who put them in the world, see these people go through the affliction they go through, and these people die, and they don't care nothing about it, but the Most High care about what happened to these people. These people go down and they get everlasting rest, everlasting peace, comfort. Read, brother.
1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16.
For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first.
And the who in Christ shall rise first?
And the dead in Christ shall rise first.
So this is your first resurrection. The dead in Christ shall rise first. And this event is happening while people is still on the earth going through tribulation. The dead in Christ shall rise first. Okay, let's go to 2nd Esdras. Go back to 2nd Esdras 2, verse 23. Now we're getting an understanding. We got an understanding that those that die in Christ, the ones who labored, their work, the works that they put in, the testimony that they held, which is the works of doing the work for the Father, doing the work for Yeshua the Son, loving their brothers and sisters, unity, pushing forward to make it to the bosom. And once they made it to the bosom, they was granted everlasting mercy, which is peace, comfort. 2nd Esdras 2, verse 23.
2nd Esdras chapter 2, verse 23. Where's over, thou findest. Wherever thou findest the dead, take them and bury them, and I will give thee the first place in my resurrection. Read that again.
Read that again for me. Read that again for me.
Second Esdras chapter 2, verse 23. Wherever thou findest the dead, take them and bury them, and I will give thee the first place in my resurrection.
When you read the book of Tobit, they went to slavery. That the northern kingdom went to slavery in Assyria, and they was killing and destroying Israelites. Tobit would hide some of his son of the dead to bury them. He would hide himself because if the Assyrians see him burying his brethren, they would kill him. So the Most High let you know, if you bury your brethren, he would give you first place of resurrection. What is that resurrection? That's 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 16, when the dead in Christ shall rise, when Christ hit the atmosphere. So, to get the understanding of what the Most High is saying, read Tobit. Read this again for me. Read that scripture again for me.
2nd Esdras chapter 2, verse 23. Wheresoever thou findest the dead, take them and bury them, and I will give thee the first place in my resurrection.
So we understand, please, brothers and sisters, don't cremate your family members. Because the Most High said, wherever you find it, you bury your family member, that's respect. The Most High is telling you right here that he will give you the first place in his resurrection as long as you walk in his laws, statutes, and commandments. But it's letting you know that you do not cremate your people. That's just something the other nations have done put in our heads where it's cheaper for us to do, but we don't do that. We as Israelites, we have to bury our people. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 15, verse 50 through 58, because we're going to show when the dead in Christ rise, because the scriptures say the dead in Christ shall rise and be caught in the clouds and be with our Lord forevermore. But that's what a Christian say, oh, that validates rapture. First of all, the word rapture is not in the Bible, period. That word is not in the Bible. It's a buzzword. That means that's a word that it, when it's heard, okay, automatically that goes to the Bible. Rapture, oh, that go in the Bible. That's when the people float up in the cloud. This is what happens when the people go up in the cloud. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 50 through 58. This is what happens when Christ hit the atmosphere and the dead in Christ rise and they caught up in the cloud. This is what happens. Read.
1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 50. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither do it corrupt inherit incorruption. Behold, I will show you a mystery. we shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. Verse 54. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Verse 55. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. Verse 57. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Yeshua Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable always, abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord.
Your labor is not in vain with the Lord. 1 Corinthians 50, verse 58. Therefore, my brethren, I'm sorry, Salakia. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain with the Lord. So, when you die, you cease from your works. And if your works was worthy, you make it to Abraham's bosom. And we're speaking on the ones that die in Christ. We're not speaking on the ones that make it to the wilderness, make it through the wilderness without being purged. We're not speaking on the people that don't die in Christ. We're speaking on the people that die right now. We're not speaking on the ones that make it all the way through the consumption. We're talking about the ones that die before Christ hit the atmosphere. Now, let's go to Revelation 20, verse 1 through 6. Revelation 20, verse 1 through 6. And we should be getting a good understanding now through these precepts that the dead in Christ, in order to be partakers of the dead in Christ, you have to do the work. You have to put in the work. You have to confess Yeshua's name, confess Ahiah's name. You have to do the work. You have to stand fast. You have to follow the dietary laws. You have to follow the commandments. You have to move forward. To love your brothers, sisters, no matter what outcome, do whatever you can to overcome. Revelation 20, verse 1.
Revelation chapter 20, verse 1. And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years. Verse 3. And cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up and set a seal upon him that he should deceive the nations no more, till the 1,000 years should be fulfilled. And after that, he must be loose a little season. Verse 4. And I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Yeshua and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years.
They lived and reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. Like I say, this is speaking on the ones right here. We're speaking on the dead in Christ. Because I'm going to read Revelation 20, verse 4. And I saw thrones, and they that sat upon them, and the judgments were given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Yeshua and for the word of the Most High Power, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. They did the work. They died. They went down. They went down. They received peace. Now, let's think about it. Christ walked the earth over 2,000 years ago. What about the ones that died 2,000 years ago? Where they at? Abraham's bosom, waiting till Christ hit the atmosphere. When Christ hit the atmosphere, they're going to rise. They're going to get caught up in the cloud. When they get caught up in the cloud, they get changed in the twinkling of an eye. Then, Christ subdued the earth. Christ walked everybody who's going to make it into Jerusalem for 1,000-year peace. After the 1,000 years, the thrones come up, come down. The thrones come down. The dead that's not in Christ, the dead is given up in judgment. Now we're gonna go to 2 Ezra 2, verse 23. We're going to go back in the Apocrypha, 2 Ezra 2, verse 23. We painting the picture. Well, the scripture is painting the picture, giving you an understanding that the dead in Christ going to rise. When the dead in Christ rise, they change, giving heavenly bodies. When they're giving the heavenly bodies, the earth is subdued. Christ walk everybody into Jerusalem. The Messiah, the Savior.
2 Ezra, chapter 2, verse 23. Wheresoever thou findest the dead, take them and bury them, and I will give thee the first.
No, we already read it. I'm sorry. We already read that. Go to Daniel 12, verse 2.
All right.
I'm sorry about that. It's a lot to you.
No problem. Daniel 12 and 2?
Daniel 12 and 2. Sorry about that. Oh.
No problem. Daniel chapter 12, verse 2. And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake. Some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. Daniel chapter 12, verse 2. And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt.
So, right here, Daniel's letting you know that you got one side of hell, you got one side of Abraham's bosom. Many of them going to wake up to everlasting shame. And that's going to be after the 1,000-year reign. That's going to be after Christ came and did his 1,000-year reign. That's going to be after the first resurrection. That's going to be well after the first resurrection, but 1,000 years after. They're still going to be getting tormented while the righteous is ruling with Christ for 1,000 years. Go to 2 Ezra 2, verse 34. Now we're going back to Apocrypha. Sorry about that. The first time, 2 Ezra 2, verse 34.
All right, we're in the King James Version Bible, 1611, the Apocrypha. 2 Ezra, chapter 2, verse 34. And therefore I say unto you, O ye heathen that hear and understand, look for your shepherd. He shall give you everlasting rest.
He shall give you everlasting rest. Now read all this. Start over and read, because the reason we went down is because we want you to know, for Jews and Gentiles who in Christ, they will get salvation. They will get salvation because they will partake in the kingdom. They might be up under the Israelites, but they will be salvation for them. Read that.
Okay. 2 Ezra chapter 2, verse 34. And therefore I say unto you, O ye heathen, that hear.
Heathen, Gentile, other nation that's outside of Israel. Read that again.
And therefore I say unto you, O ye heathen, that hear and understand, look for your shepherd. He shall give you everlasting rest, for he is night at hand that shall come in the end of the world.
So there are Gentiles like Cornelius. Yes, there are Gentiles like Cornelius who the Most High say he will redeem, he will keep a remnant for himself. So you do have Edomites and other nations that's gonna partake, who gonna call on the true name, and who gonna go down in righteousness. You do have heathens, Gentiles, the other nations outside of Israel that's gonna partake in the salvation. Let's go to Job 14:10. Jews and Gentiles alike. So we got to make sure we don't down nobody, because just because all Israel is not Israel. Trust me, two-thirds are going to pass, only one-third is going to make it to the kingdom. So I might not make it. This brother who hosting the show might not make it. But what we have to do, we got to put ourselves in a position to do the work so we can try to make it. The Most High choose who he want to choose. So let's put our work in and try to get there.
Right. It was Job 14 and what up?
14:10.
Job chapter 14, verse 10. But man dieth and wasteth away. Ye, man giveth up the ghost. And where is he?
Keep 10 through 14. Keep reading.
All right, verse 11. As the waters fail from the sea, and the flood decayeth and drieth up, so man lieth down and riseth not. Till the heavens be no more, they shall not awake, nor be raised out of their sleep. O that thou wouldest hide me in the grave, that thou wouldest keep me secret until thy wrath be past, that thou wouldest appoint me a set time and remember me. Verse 14. If a man die, shall he live again? All the days of my appointed time will I wait till my change come.
Okay, let's analyze this a little bit. Let's look at this. Job 14:10. But man dies and wasted away. Yea, man give up the ghost. And where is he? We know where he at. Abraham's bosom or in hell. As the waters fell from the sea, and the flood decayed and dried up, so man left down and raised not, till the heavens be no more, but shall not awake, nor be raised out of sleep. Oh, that thou wouldest hide me in the grave, that thou wouldest keep me secret until thy wrath pass, that thou wouldest appoint me a set time and remember me. That set time and remember him is 1 Thessalonians 4:16, when the dead in Christ rise and Christ hit the atmosphere. Okay, verse 14. If a man die, shall he live again? All the days of my appointed time will I wait till my change come. When is the change? 1 Corinthians 15:50-58. When the dead in Christ rise and they changed in the twinkling of an eye. So we get an understanding on that. We saying that you take those precepts and put it with that, you'll understand exactly what he's saying. If a man dies, shall he live again all the days of my appointed time will I wait till my change come. He's waiting for the change to be changed in the twinkling of an eye. Job 14, verse 13. Oh, that thou wouldest hide me in the grave, that thou wouldest keep me secret until thy wrath be past, that thou wouldest appoint me a set time and remember me. When Christ hit the atmosphere, remember him. He come up from the bosom. He get changed and took it in the eye. He get a heavenly body. He get walked into Jerusalem. Let's go to Revelation 20, verse 7. 7 through 15.
Revelation chapter 20, verse 7. And when the 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison and shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is as the sands of the sea. Verse 9. And they went up on the breadth of the earth and compassed the camp of the saints about, and the beloved city. And fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. Verse 12. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. Verse 13. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works. Verse 14. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. Verse 15. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire.
Okay. This is showing us after the 1,000-year reign. After the 1,000-year reign, the earth, everything is given back to the Father. The Father comes down, and the people, the individuals that's dead to the Father, spiritually, the spirit's still living, but they're dead to the Father. There's no more communication with the Father. They get judged by their works, their evil doings, they unrighteous acts. They get judged. The name not in the book of life. They throw it in the lake of fire. Because remember, Revelation 20, verse 4 says, and I saw thrones, and they that sat upon them, and judgment was given to them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Yeshua and for the works of the Most High Power, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. They reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. We're going to jump to, we're going to read 5. But the rest of the dead lived not until 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. So now we read about the second resurrection. Verse 7. And when 1,000 years were expired, Satan shall be loosed. And after Satan is thrown in the lake of fire, and the Most High come down, the dead will be judged. The dead will be judged for their works. Let's go to, now, the question is, how do we make it? How do we make it to Abraham's bosom? Go to Hebrews 3,
That was Hebrews 3 and 13.
3 and 13.
Hebrews chapter 3, verse
13. Do your thing.
All right. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 13. But exhort one another daily while it is called today.
Start right there.
Okay.
Start right there. Read that again.
But exhort one another daily while it is called today.
Exhort each other daily while it is called today. Exhort each other daily. The ones who have the understanding of the Most High, the ones who have the understanding of Christ, the ones who have a true understanding, who fall in the spirit and in truth, those who the Most High are looking for, those are the individuals who are supposed to go out and wake up their brothers and sisters, keep the truth, guard it to themselves, and go out there and wake up brothers and sisters and work in harmony, love, and peace. Bring in brothers and sisters. Be the light to the Gentiles. Bring in Gentiles. Every day we need to be discussing this with each other. Every day we need to be in scripture with each other. Every day we need to be putting in work. That's exalting each other every single day. Why it's called today. The reason why I say why it's called today, you ever heard that old saying? Here today, gone tomorrow. Because when you dead, it's over. Your works is ceased. So you exalt each other daily to do the work together to go out to bring brothers and sisters to the Most High. Because when you dead, you it's over. When the Most High sent a decree, whatever you was trying to do up to that point, it's over. So you need to exalt each other daily. Whatever problems you had before, put that to the side. Move forward. Do the work. Because when it's over, it's over. Read it again.
Hebrews chapter 3, verse 13. But exhort one another daily while it is called today. Lest any of you be hardened, though, through the deceitfulness of sin.
Lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin, because that's when the decree is done, it's over, your work ceases. That means you didn't have time to repent. It's over. Your heart was hardened, and you didn't make it to the bosom because of unbelief. That's what it means. You didn't make it to the bosom because of unbelief. You didn't believe enough to try to follow the law, statutes, and commandments, love your brother, love your sister, and do the things that's necessary to work towards getting to the bosom, to work towards the sin of the kingdom, to work towards the being in the wilderness and not being purged in the wilderness. If your heart is not hard, listen. That's why I say today, let's go to that scripture.
Yeah, I'll read it again. Hebrews chapter 3 and 13. But exhort one another daily while it is called today.
Right, but I want
you to be hard.
Go to 3. I want you to stay right there in 3. Hold on, let me get Hebrews. Read verse 7.
Hebrews chapter 3, verse 7. Wherefore, as the Holy Spirit saith, today, if ye will hear his voice, harden not your hearts, as in the provocation in the day of temptation, in the wilderness. Keep going.
Harden not your heart. Harden not your hearts, for today hear his voice. Let's go to Revelation 4, verse 18.
Revelation
4. No, hold on, let me see. No. Hebrews. No. Okay, this is what I want you to do. Read 4:1 so we can see those precepts got a way better understanding than Hebrews 4:9. Read 4:1 on down through 8.
Is this Revelations?
Hebrews 4 verse
Hebrews.
1.
One moment.
Hebrews chapter 4, verse 1. Let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. Read that again. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 1. Let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it.
Okay, hold on. Let's give an example of the of some brothers and sisters being caught short of making it. Start at 3. Go to Hebrews 3:7 and read all the way down. Read all the way down through it so we can get a full understanding.
Hebrews chapter 3:7. Wherefore, as the Holy Spirit said, today if ye will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation in the day of temptation in the wilderness. When your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my works 40 years, wherefore I was grieved with that generation and said, they do always err in their heart, and they have not known my ways. Verse 11. So I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. Verse 11, we'll read that again. So I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast until the end. While it is said, today if ye will hear his voice, harden not your hearts, as in the provocation. For some, when they had heard, did provoke, albeit not all that came out of Egypt by Moses, but with whom was he grieved 40 years? Was it not with them that had sinned, whose carcasses fell in the wilderness? Verse 18. And to whom swear he that shall not enter into his rest, but to them that believed not? So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief.
So this is showing you, it's not talking about when Joshua led them into the land. Because it say chapter 4, verse 1 say, let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us entering into his rest. Hebrews 4:1. Let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us entering into his rest. So therefore, we know this is an epistle from Paul to the Hebrews, letting them know, because this was during the time when he was living. He said, let us therefore fear. So we understand it's talking about, he was giving an example of when the ones from the wilderness was getting destroyed and did not make it into the Most High rest. It's not talking about going into the Most High, to the land flowing with milk and honey. It's talking about they didn't make it to the Most High resting place. They didn't make it to the Most High resting place. Read 4:1 for me and read on down.
Hebrews chapter 4, verse 1. Let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them. But the word preached did not...
Read that again. So, because he's letting you know that the gospel was preached to them the same way it was preached to him. And he, when was this? This is during the time when Paul, after he was converted, this is after the children of Israel went in the land, defiled the land, was rooted out of the land. He came back in the land after the southern kingdom came back in the land after a 70-year period in Babylon. And then this is after then. Paul, this is after then. This is after Christ walked in the land.
And we know the land was infested with Gentiles when Christ was there. So this is not talking about going inside the land flowing with milk and honey, because they wasn't given rest because they went in the land and defiled the land and was rooted out. So it's not talking about them going from the wilderness into the land of Canaan. It's not talking about that. It's talking about the Most High resting place. Read 2 on down.
Revelation chapter 4, verse 2. For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. For we which have believed do not, sorry, Colossians. For we which have believed do enter into rest.
Read that again, because it's showing you it's not talking about going in the land. This is Paul telling you. Read again, what is Paul saying? For we.
Hebrews 4 and 3. For we, which have believed, do enter into rest. As he said, as I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world.
We already know that the Most High works was finished on day 6, the 6,000th year. His works was finished. But man was finished when he deceased. The day he deceased, that's it. When that decree made, that's it. When that spirit leave that body, that's it. He can't repent. He can't. Read verse 4.
Verse 4. For he spake in a certain place of the seventh day on this wise, and God did rest the seventh day from all his works. And in this place again, if they shall enter into my rest, seeing therefore it remaineth that some must enter therein, and they to whom it was first preached entered not in because of unbelief.
Because it say first preached because when the Israelites came out of Egypt, they had no understanding about the Father. They was on some Egyptology, whatever. They was on all that. Whatever was going on in Egypt, that what they was on. That what they was on. They didn't know nothing about the God that split the Red Sea. They knew nothing about the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So when it was first preached to them, they didn't believe it. Some of them didn't. The ones who failed through unbelief, that didn't make it to Abraham's bosom, the ones that's in hell now, that's what the scriptures are speaking on. The ones that didn't make it. Read verse 7.
Again, he limiteth a certain day, saying in David, today, after so long a time, as it is said, today, if ye will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. For if Yeshua had given them rest, then would he not afterward have spoken of another day?
Okay, now let's analyze this. If Christ had given them rest, then would he not afterward have spoken of another day? The ones who Christ was speaking to, he didn't give them rest right then at that time. They still had another day, and then another day, and another day. Let's look at Christ giving the brother rest. Let's go to Luke 23, verse 33. So we can see Christ giving a brother rest. Because the ones he spoke to that was still living, he didn't give rest. But we're going to give an example of Christ giving a brother rest.
Luke chapter 23, verse
33.
Luke 23 and 33. And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him, and the malefactors, one on the right hand, and the other on the left.
These are the two. Hold on one second. This is Christ finna be crucified, finna be hung on the cross. He had two brothers on the side of him, one on the left, one on the right. Now read that again. Read that again for that. That's the understanding on that. That Christ finna be crucified, and he has two brothers on one on the left and one on the right. Read it. Start over and read it.
Luke 23:33. And when they were come to the place, which is called Calvary, there they crucified him, and the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left. Then said Yeshua, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted his raiment and cast lots. And the people stood beholding, and the rulers also with them derided him, saying, He saved others. Let him save himself, if he be Christ, the chosen of God. And the soldiers also mocked him, coming to him and offering him vinegar, and saying, If thou be the king of the Jews, save thyself. And the superscription also was written over him in letters of Greek and Latin and Hebrew, This is the king of the Jews. And one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, If thou be Christ, save thyself and us. But the other...
Hold on 1 second. Malefactor means criminals. So read that again for me. Read 39 again.
And one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, If thou be Christ, save thyself and us. But the other, answering, rebuked him, saying, Doest not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man has done nothing amiss. And he said unto Yeshua, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Yeshua said unto him.
Read 42 again, family. Well, let's see what this brother, when this one brother was saying something to Christ, he on the cross, finna die, and he got bad things to say to Christ. This other brother, like, brother, listen, we finna die because of our the things we did, our deeds we did. Verse 41. And we indeed justly, for we received the due reward of our deeds. But this man have done nothing. So what he's saying, Christ did nothing. But this man have done nothing amiss. He did nothing. Read verse 42 for me.
Verse 42. And he said unto Yeshua, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Yeshua said unto him, Verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise.
Read that again.
And Yeshua said unto him, Verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise.
Today shalt thou be with me in paradise. Because he's sent to die. He's sent to die. So therefore his deeds are over with, but Christ sent to give him rest. Christ giving him, telling him he's in paradise. That guy's going to go down. And he's going to go in Abraham's bosom. And when Christ rise, and when Christ come, that guy going to rise again. Because Christ told him he's going to be in paradise with him. Let's go back to Hebrews 4.
All right. Hebrews 4. And 1.
Let's go back to Hebrews 4, and let's read verse 8.
Hebrews chapter 4, verse 8. For if Yeshua had given them rest, then would he not afterward have spoken of another day?
Now,
there remaineth there. Go ahead.
Keep going.
Verse 9. There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God.
Keep going.
He that has entered into his rest, he also has ceased from his own works, as God did from his. Let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest, lest any man fall, Shalakim, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than a two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart.
Okay.
Neither is there. That's it.
Okay. That's it. So that's given the understanding that the dead in Christ is going to rise. The dead in Christ is going to be changed in the twinkling of an eye. The dead in Christ shall live. Because it's a difference between they just dead resting for to Christ come. Then you have the dead that's being tormented. They're dead to the communication to the Most High. They dead to the understanding from the Most High. It's over for them. It's over. They spirits still live, but they dead to the Father. It's nothing. It's no communication, nothing. The dead in Christ live. They quicken. They risen by this change. Christ walked them into Jerusalem, 1,000 year reign. After the 1,000 years, the thrones come down. The ones that's cut off from the Most High, that's in hell. They throw them in the lake of fire after they judge for their works they did. So while we walk in this earth, we must put in the work. Whatever works we do, we're going to be accounted for. So we do the works of the Most High and try to be deemed righteous, or we could be deemed unworthy, unrighteous. That was the lesson for tonight. Thank you.
All right. We got a couple of people in the queue right now. Might be some questions or comments. I'm about to open the lines up in a second. I'm going to play a tune or just get right to the people right now.
This 27, bring a minute.
All right. Going to bring in a brother or sister. Hold on, let me welcome them in. Welcome to the Lions Den. Shalom.
Shalom, Akim.
Hello.
What's happening, brother? Welcome to the Lions Den, Judah.
Yes.
Good to be here, brothers. Shalom, Akim, Barakatah.
Right.
First and foremost, I want to say all praises to Ahayah, Bahashem, Yeshaya. Wow, wow, wow. Once again, you brothers, y'all brought it through. It's a lot of understanding as far as the bosom goes. It's a lot of understanding that the rest that we're going to get is that rest that we enter in by faith, by our works, into the bosom of Abraham. And also after that rest, the 1,000-year rest, the millennium rest that Christ would give us. And then we know the eternal rest when the Father makes his abode amongst his children. So it's, your brothers brought it out. You hit it right on the point. All I can say, I like everything I heard. It's just one point. Can I make one point?
Do your thing.
Go ahead, bro.
All right, definitely. I wanted to go to James chapter 2 and verse 14 all the way down to 26.
All right. James chapter 2, verse 14. What doeth the prophet, my brethren, though a man say he has faith and have not works, can faith save him? If a
right
brother...
Sorry there, brother. Block you. First and foremost, we understand that you saying you have faith and you don't have works behind that faith, this will not save you. this will not save you. And a lot of people have the misconception that, you know, oh, I believe in my heart. Oh, you know what I mean? You know, I have God in my heart. Oh, I have Christ in my heart. I believe in Christ. And then their works are contrary to believing Christ. So start it over, brother. Read that again. I'm going to let you go through.
James chapter 2, verse 14. What doeth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he has faith and have not works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be ye warm and filled, notwithstanding ye give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doeth it profit? Even so faith, if it has not works, is dead, being alone. Verse 18. Ye, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works.
Hold on right
19.
There.
19. Okay.
Hold on right there. Paul say, you, a person would say they have faith, and they have works. Paul said, I will show you my faith by my works. So people are supposed to see our faith, the faith that we have, through the works that we put in, through the works that you brothers is putting in. People can clearly see that you have faith in the Most High and his son, Yeshua. They can clearly see this because y'all putting in the work. Y'all have the faith.
Well,
to you, brother.
With that, I understand that, but man, we got way more works to do because we got, in the Most High eyes, man, we got so much work to do because we done seen so much in our life. So, you know, we got to put in so much work with you, with other brothers, like-minded brothers. So that's what Warriors of Christ, by linking in with other brothers and sisters who want to continually put in the work to the casket drop. That's what we about. Or we make it to in the wilderness, and hopefully we don't be purged. We just trying to get there. And we trying to do with other brothers and like-minded sisters. We're trying to get there.
Mm-hmm.
Bring in somebody else in the queue. Bring them in.
All right, I'm bringing you in the queue. Let me give you a warm welcome. Welcome to the Lion's Den.
Welcome to the Lion's Den.
Hello.
Hey.
Hi.
Hey,
Shalom.
Shalom.
Hi. My name is Diane York. I received an invite from your web service at Blog Talk, and I just want to thank you, brothers, for inviting me to come out. I do search the web and listen for like-minded people. And I'm here in Denver, Colorado. And so far, I've listened to a lot of your archives, and I'm very impressed. I believe a lot of what you believe, although I do say different names in terms of the name of the Most High and his son. There's just one thing that I kind of want to throw out there is, you know, I came into the knowledge a couple years ago, my husband and I, and so we've been diligently searching the scriptures and doing a lot of research. We have the Bible Dictionary, the Apocrypha, the Sealed Pickfords, and we're really trying to just understand what we as a people did wrong and why we're in the condition as we are today. But what I wanted to mention is that you all talked a lot about the Gentiles. And I've heard you mention on a couple of your shows how there are some Hebrew camps, as I call them, or sects of people who know their Hebrew, talk about the Gentiles actually being the Israelites, the broken Israelites, the house of Ephraim, the lost 10 tribes. And I am one of those who believe that wholeheartedly and have several scriptures that I believe confirm that is who Paul and Peter were talking to. And so there's certainly not enough time for that, but I just kind of wanted to make that known, although I sincerely appreciate what you guys do, and you guys are given a lot of edification, and I'm learning a tons more than I have been in the past. But that was just one thing that I saw where there's a difference in our beliefs. But regardless of that, your words, still your messages that you all are talking about transcends all that. And I just want to thank you for that.
Okay, okay. So we appreciate that. What we could do, we could stir you in the same place we was in, so you could look into it a little more in depth yourself. So if you take your time and look into it, are you familiar with the Gathering of Christ?
I am. The GLCC, I have done a lot of theirs. I follow them on YouTube.
Right. Do you look at, specifically, can you, when you get a chance, look at when a lot of the ones, when it's dealing with the about the Gentiles? Cause
I have,
actually. You have?
I have, and I still disagree. Not the fact that they don't get salvation. I wholeheartedly believe that they get salvation. I believe that they will be a part of the kingdom in a sense,
you know,
but I think that kingdom is represented for the Hebrews.
Say that again. So you don't think the Gentiles are going to be part of, okay.
No, I do. I believe that the other nations, because I think the Gentiles and my and I hate to say what I believe, because I'm really trying not to lean on my understanding, but as I understand it, what's been laid on my spirit to believe, I'll say that, is that the Gentiles spoken of in the Bible many times specifically are talking about the scattered tribes, the 10 lost tribes who, after that Assyrian captivity, went on, and then they began to serve other gods, and they went far, they played the harlot far worse than Judah did. And so I really believe
Okay, remember, you're right, we don't have the time, but the Most High said himself that Ephraim and Judah, he will put together as one stick.
That's
So that's showing you that those 10 tribes are going to come back together with and be in Jerusalem, because he said he's going to take those two tribes and put them back. He's going to take those two kingdoms and make them one stick again. Remember?
Right.
Find that for me, John. Find that for me. And then, with the precepts we just did in this right here, what was it? Second Esdras 2 and 34. So you honestly believe that the northern kingdom will not be partakers in the kingdom?
No, I'm saying they will be partakers. They can obtain salvation. What I'm saying is this book is basically our history book, and yet those Gentiles are mentioned, but when Paul and them are talking and they are beseeching their brethren, they are talking, I believe, from my understanding, they're talking to the Gentiles, and I have, like I said, a couple of scriptures that...
Okay,
you know,
bring it, let us hear it. Let us hear that scripture.
I mean, we can talk, let's see. We can start off with Romans 11, that whole chapter, but specifically in Romans 11, it talks about, verse 19 in Romans 11.
Romans 11.
Okay.
So that was what you were talking about. It was a piece, another precept. Thou wilt say then the branches were broken off, that I not
yet. Exactly, both not against the branch. So that's Paul, not as Paul telling the Gentiles not to boast against, because Israel has fallen and salvation was given to the Gentiles. And what's the salvation of the Gentiles? The riches of the world. So he was telling them don't boast against the branches, and that's what they did, because they taught us that Israel, they taught us in Christian churches, Israel was done away with. Who that come from? It comes from the Gentiles that taught us that Israel was done away with. And then what they did in turn, they went into the land and they said that they were the children of Israel. The Jewish people are boasting against the natural branches right now today.
But see, I always understood that, and I'm trying to remember that verse where it talks about, I don't have my notes together, where it talks about how Judah will no longer vex. Ephraim will no longer, it talks about that. And so I believe that Ephraim, the house of Ephraim, those 10 tribes, because they were given that bill of divorce in Jeremiah 3, that Paul, I mean, when the I call him Yahushua, I think you call him Yahawashah, when he came in Matthew 15,
no,
24,
we,
I believe.
No, we don't call him the deliverer. We call him the savior.
Okay. So the savior, let's just say for edification,
yes.
The savior in Matthew 15, scripture or verse 24, he says he came not before the lost house of Israel.
Exactly. House, all 12 tribes.
Right.
The house is
so,
all 12.
Exactly. But we know from history that, and I hope you would agree that, primarily the tribes that were remaining in Jerusalem and Judea and those surrounding areas was basically the house of Judah, Benjamin, Levi, some of Levi, and then Judah. And the other tribes have been scattered abroad. And when they have those epistles.
Do you have a 1611 King James Bible?
I don't have the 1611. I have the regular King James Version, and I have my Apocrypha separate.
Oh, you had a Apocrypha separate. Well, go to second Exodus,
okay,
13:43. That shows you the 10 tribes when they left Assyria that they actually came to this land which was called Israel. So
yeah.
So those 10 tribes, the so-called Spanish people, the so-called Native American Indians, those are the 10 tribes right there. That's the house of Ephraim.
Right. And that's how Columbus found them, because he looked in the book of Second Exodus and said that he knew that they had came to a land where no man dwelt not, or before.
What did Jacob tell Gad? In Genesis? In the last day,
would be laid before him or something like that, or
truth shall overcome him.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay, that was a prophecy from the Most High that the Europeans would come over here and take them down.
Yeah, I agree with that.
So it would, and then that links right back up to Revelation 7. Revelation 7 telling you 144,000, 12,000 out of each tribe.
Right.
Right,
sister? Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. Mm-hmm. I agree. I just believe that the Gentiles are not. Some of them, because I've been using the Blue Letter Bible to break down the Gentiles, and there's different different Hebrew, like it's H, you know, something. There's like three or four different Gentiles, and there's one that was generally speaking, and there was one that actually was talking about the other nations. And so, after using the discernment, that's how I kind of broke it down. But
yeah, but it's great. But the one thing about it is great. That you moving forward in truth, you searching, you finding, you know, the Lord's will that all that understanding come to you, and I'm asking you to please dig into Gathering of Christ a little bit more, listen to a little bit more, find those videos that's basically dealing with what questions you want to ask, because I'm gonna be honest with you. When I first started with the Gathering of Christ, and I've been 3 years, I'm talking about anything come in my head, I sit down and watch that study, the answer come out, Elder Carson, I bring out the answer. So take your time and,
I will. And I was going to say this, I like a lot of what they teach. But there was a teaching about the woman and the hair and why black women today don't have hair. I was listening to that particular sermon, and I didn't agree with that because I believe those are metaphors for Israel itself, because they talk about Israel in a feminine metaphor. They call it the daughter of Zion. And, you know, when they talk about the two sisters in Samaria and Jerusalem, you know, the daughter, I don't know how you pronounce it, Abelah and something else. I mean, they reference women a lot. But it just seems like some of these Hebrew camps are using that to talk about, you know, black women or Hebrew women and not really looking at it in a metaphoric sense.
When the daughters of Zion was smite at their scalp, you don't see what sisters walking around here with short hair. You don't see that physically. You think that's a metaphor.
No, I do see that physically. I, however, don't believe that the Most High was writing about sisters with short hair. I believe he was talking about the transgression of the law of the daughters of Zion.
Remember, do you know in past times that the glory is, the woman's glory is her hair, right? And it used to cover their body, right?
Yes, that's what the Bible says, yes.
So if you understand that the so-called African-American Israelites will wear their glory. So therefore that scripture must be true if they don't have their glory, right?
I kind of don't believe, I'm not really 100% with you on that one, because the glory for me, it would be spiritual glory. I don't see where, I mean, I understand what he's saying for us to maybe to respect ourselves or, you know, not to take it lightly, to have the beautiful hair or the covering of oneself. But I still think that it's talking, you know, about a spiritual message, that when Yahushua came or Christ came, he came to bring us to a spiritual message. Not about hair and clothing and wearing tassels and things like that. Like the flesh, you need to get off of the flesh of God and get up to the
spiritual. Can I ask you a question?
Sure.
Do you believe that it's spiritual Israelites? Do you believe that? No.
I don't believe there's no such thing that there is a spiritual Israelite. It's by the called seed. No way.
Okay. Well, it's been a great deal talking to you, and I see you support it because you was on from the time the show came on. And I'd like to salute you, sister. And you say you way in Denver. That's beautiful. That's a beautiful thing. That's a beautiful thing. Thank you for the support.
You're very welcome.
Absolutely.
I'll be continuing to listen. I'll be following you guys and listening and learning, and hopefully if there's information that comes down and Spirit says, okay, you need to correct this thought, then it'll be done.
I actually found that scripture, Brother Dwayne, in Ezekiel 37 and 19 about the Judah and Ephraim being one stick.
Read it.
All right, Ezekiel chapter 37, verse 19. Say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I will take the stick of Joseph, which is in the hand of Ephraim, and the tribes of Israel, his fellows, and will put them with him, even with the stick of Judah, and make them one stick, and they shall be in my hand.
Hold on, you don't have to read no more. You don't even have to read no more.
Right.
You don't even have to read no more. But because we only got six minutes left in the sister group. Sister brought out some key things, but sister, take your time, look into it, and if you can, like I said, whatever questions that come in your head, if you could find those studies or GLC that's pertaining to whatever question you have, I guarantee you, you will get the answer. Maybe if you look in 2-3 of those videos pertaining to the same study, because they have multiple studies pertaining to the same thing. And you could gather a lot of information that way, too. But I commend you. I salute the sister, your husband. I salute the brother. And I thank you for your support. And, man, if tell some more people over there in Colorado about us.
I just spread word. It's kind of hard out here because not a lot of people believe in the Hebrew Israelite. I mean, my husband and I have to come to knowledge where kind of shunned by our family also. So it's been a hard fight these last 2 years, but we're hanging in there, and our kids, they were right on track with us, and they believe in, we had, you know, kids in the rap game and everything else, and they understand what their purpose is, and so they're trying to do the best that they can in understanding, you know, what happened to our people and our ancestors in those ancient times, and that, you know, this Bible is about us. And it's about our ancestry, and we have a purpose. We have a part of it. And I think if more of our people understood that worldwide, we would be better off because we would understand what we did wrong, and we wouldn't keep repeating ourselves. But I believe in Ezekiel 37, that whole chapter. I know the dry bones are going to wake up, and that's why we're all coming into it at our own time. And all of us may not have the full understanding, but I think we'll put our parts together, and when that time comes, we'll be ready for the fight. So I'll be listening and learning.
Okay.
Okay, thanks. And you, you was on the blog. What you, you say? Invite came from the blog talk.
Yeah, it came directly to my email and it said that you all invited me to listen.
Okay, and what's your username on that? You know what you could do?
It should just be Diane York.
Who?
I don't have a tag name, Diane York.
Okay, okay, Diane. Okay. Well, it's been a great deal to have you to the show, and thank you for your support. And we'll be trying to do more work. Whatever you could bring to the table, and we can help each other. That's what we're trying to do. We're trying to rise, Israel. We're trying to rise together because we know we're not going to all come together, but those who are like-minded, we're trying to get with them and move forward.
All right. Thank you.
All right. Have a good day.
Shalom. And while the sister is on the phone before she leaves, that scripture that you guys are talking about the scabbing of the
open
head.
Open her back up, John. Open her back up.
Yeah, I did.
The scripture that y'all was talking about as far as the daughters of Zion, it's actually Isaiah 3:16.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just going to read it to show that it was talking literal. It says, "Moreover, the Lord said, because the daughters of Zion are haughty and walk with stretched forth necks and wanton eyes, walking and menacing as they go and making a twinkling with their feet. Therefore, the Lord will smite with a scab the crown of the head of the daughters of Zion, and the Lord will discover their secret parts. In that day, the Lord will take away their bravery and their twinkling and their ornaments about their feet and their calves and their round tires like the moon, the chains and the bracelets and the mufflers and the bonnets and the ornaments of the legs and the headbands." So it goes into a whole thing where the Most High was taking all of their glory away, but he was still talking about physical things, because that verse right there, verse 3, when it says, "Therefore the Lord will smite with the scab the crown of the head, the daughters of Zion, and the Lord will discover their secret parts." Now we understand that long hair was covering up their secret parts. So when he touched their head and put a scab on their head so that their hair would not grow, now that's why you see most of our women walking with the provocative clothes on, showing their body and things
they're doing the same thing they did that the sister did back then. It's the same thing. Oh, we have 2 minutes left.
Okay.
2 minutes left. And we'd like to thank you again, sister, and hope to see you in the queue again.
Yes.
Hope to see you in the queue again. And Brother Randy, it's been love riding with you, brother. What we're going to do.
Yeah, thanks for that edification, bro.
Yeah, thanks for the edification. We salute both of y'all for being in the queue through the whole duration. I applaud both of y'all, too. And hopefully we have a prayer for all our brothers and sisters to move forward in the
Definitely.
Queue. So what we're going to do, we're going to take it out with a song. And, you know, shalom, brothers and sisters.
Shalom.
Hello, you there, brother? What are we going to go with? All right, let's go with, well, first of all, that was a great show. Bless you, brother. Everybody that came on, and welcome to the Lion's Den. It's Warriors in Christ. And your brother, Jonathan, or your Jonathan?
And your brother, Dwayne.
Oh, yeah.
Don't let this world mislead you. say it.